John chapter 16. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you.
Good morning. Well, this is part three of Dissident Racism of the Stars and Bars. You know, in a world where nothing seems to matter anymore, especially the truth, why is the recent soundbite, Black Lives Matter, going viral? It's all you hear. Why is it taking such an extreme racist position while bemoaning racism? The truth of the matter would seem to imply that black lowlifes matter, or conversely, white lives don't matter. To the world of pornographic infomercials, size matters. And the public airwaves controlled by the prince of the power of the air, Jews, inundate living rooms with little children hearing a steady mantra of Viagra and Cialis. If race is such a tender, ultra-sensitive issue, demanding meaningless words like respect and dignity, then you would think that the cultural assaults on Christianity perpetrated by the same tribe of professional race baiters would not rub the nose of decent white Christian Americans in their smut. It's not a two-way street, evidently. Is it that hard to figure out that an enemy of the white race has a completely different criteria for what really matters most? Why is it that we are hearing more about the Confederate flag than the alleged 9 Negroes shot in their black church by a white guy? Does it matter if the alleged shooter, Dylan Roof, is a Manchurian candidate or a patsy or somebody else is pulling the strings or triggers behind the scenes? If this blitzkrieg avalanche of non-white hate speech is not being choreographed, is not coincidental, then it very well may be a meme, a cultural phenomenon where an idea or phrase spreads exponentially within a certain demographic. Black lowlifes matter cannot proliferate without the scapegoat of eradicating the Confederate flag, as if the two are inseparable, which perfectly distracts us from their lawlessness and their handlers lurking in the shadows. Apparently, when a darky Muslim kills U.S. Marines, it's an isolated incident and has nothing to do with Islam, a non-white religion. In fact, a Jewish invention. Initially, they tried to pin the Charleston shooting to guns in the hands of white people and the need to control law-abiding white people who bear arms. However, that bright idea evaporated as soon as the statistics pointed to an overwhelming propensity of black lowlifes that commit more gun violence in America than anyone else, no matter how jaded the news is. In fact, here's the twisted logic of Babylonian horse thieves telling us what matters. Whites are oppressors. Non-whites are victims. Although race doesn't exist, we're supposed to love racial diversity. But we celebrate our differences because we're all the same. Therefore, we must destroy diversity by race mixing, but only in white countries. Is there a love connection between Charleston, Chattanooga, and the Thursday shooting in a Louisiana movie theater? And oh, how they love to say the shooter was a white man a million times. I say love because they all seem to be affectionately touted by the Jews media as their penchant to confiscate your guns in a series or run of serial psyops, staged events. Again, as is the case with so many manufactured realities, one of the soldiers killed in Chattanooga was coincidentally killed in Iraq in 2004. Marine Lance Corporal Larry L. Wells. They love to call good evil. After all, it's the evil assault weapon that kills people, not human beings. Why don't they have the same disdain for chimp outs, a term used to describe violent black gangs acting like wild animals? Why? Well, maybe it's because they love an out-of-control chimp. The Holy Spirit, on the other hand, from our scripture reading today, tells us when the Spirit of truth comes, He shall lead you into the whole truth. And the events that are coming, He will announce. What He receives from me, He will transmit to you, me meaning Christ. Dissident racism gives us the writing on the wall from the watchman on the wall. All we have to do is not believe their lies. The Jews and their lies, as Martin Luther put it. And oh, how the pulpit whores can make hay about red moons. Vain pretenders. You know how to analyze the appearance of the earth and the sky, but you don't know how to discern the present times? Presently, we are being overwhelmed with a slew of violent brainwashing techniques to disarm white Christian America. If you can't see the patterns, your mind is being washed by their dirty lies. There always seems to be a pattern of a lone nut, drugs or mental problems, firearms used efficiently with no previous training, immediate federal intervention over local authorities, and a perfectly orchestrated media regurgitating only the sanitized version for public consumption after the real body of evidence has been classified. And we never see or hear from the perpetrator again, except during the carefully staged trial, with all concerned being corrupt actors and conspirators. And always an ulterior ready-made agenda for drastic legislation to advance the emerging police state, gun confiscation, and widespread surveillance. It's pretty obvious that whoever started this Black Lives Matter nonsense had an agenda to agitate and push the envelope to kill more white people than they already are. The race war has entered into a new realm of hypocrisy and violence with the nonstop hype of what only matters to blacks and other half-breeds. Certainly the reaction was to be calculated when others would say, hey, other lives matter also. And they would be the next level of ostracized, politically incorrect, racist, and inexcusable thought crime perpetrating hate. Yeah, I hate these bastards. And if members don't enter the congregation, then mamsers don't matter in the kingdom of God. If we are to be marginalized by jungle supremacists, then our options are limited to moving to safe areas, even though there's no place to run these days. Submit to the concentration camps called corporate cities. Or we can fight on as many fronts as we choose with any weapon we want, physically and spiritually, above ground and underground. Not one single presidential candidate will dare to say that white lives matter. That's because they want black votes for themselves. They want the brainwashed masses of white voters who worship the Negro and are constantly pining for Negroes to like them. Well, blacks will never like white people because they see us as being a privileged class. And the perpetrators of slavery, even though that's not true. They don't care about you or the canard of a brotherhood of man. They only care about how they can extract more freebies from you through taxes or force. Now we'll get to slavery in a moment here. Because the Confederate flag is being mischaracterized as a symbol of slave masters. But first, we need to take a look at an outrageous race traitor who was snookered by his own politically correct Democrats last weekend in Arizona at a town hall meeting for liberal activists. The event was upstaged by a Black Alliance group taking over the stage where Senator Bernie Sanders and former Governor of Maryland, Martin O'Malley, were to speak in front of a multiracial audience of progressive socialists slash communists. The boisterous group that flooded in through a side door were shouting down the presidential contenders and grabbed a microphone and began to rant and rave, finally demanding of O'Malley this question, quote, as the leader of this nation, will you advance a racial justice agenda that will dismantle, not reform, not make progress, but will begin to dismantle structural racism in the United States? To which O'Malley immediately responded, yes. But before he could say anything else, the frenzied intruders began chanting, Black Lives Matter! Black Lives Matter! Followed by another phrase gaining traction when blacks get on TV. If I die in police custody, burn everything down! Wouldn't that run chills up your spine? Of course, Negroes don't understand that being out of the jungle for only a couple hundred years is like a fish out of water, and don't seem to grasp their own propensity for criminal behavior attracts law enforcement to their criminal activity much more frequently than any other people groups. Compound this with their unruly temperaments and unwillingness to cooperate with police, and this always invites violent encounters. Negroes do not accept accountability or inferior traits inherent within black communities, and instead choose to play the blame game, attributing the deaths of numerous gangbangers, dopers, and malcontents to white racism. But you never hear about the extraordinary statistics of blacks killed by their own kind on an annual basis. It's been going on for years, much in the same way tribal warfare erupts as a way of life in their home continent of Africa. O'Malley stood in silence as the heathen raged, while the organizers begged the crowd to calm down and let the guy respond, thinking he could pacify all the barking dogs. He threw the crowd a bone, saying, Black lives matter. White lives matter. All lives matter. At the point where he said, White lives matter, the crowd exploded with more vociferous shouting and booing. It was a good exhibition of how low America has devolved in civility and animalistic interactions. If that wasn't pathetic enough, the next day, O'Malley groveled to the same animals, saying, That was a mistake on my part, and I meant no disrespect. I did not understand the tremendous passion, commitment, and feeling, and depth of feeling that all of us should be attaching to this issue. End quote. And the black community graciously accepted his apology? No! Why should they respect a spineless coward that doesn't have dark skin? Bernie Sanders wasn't much better when he got his chance to mutter some egalitarian platitudes. He said, Black lives, of course, matter. I spent 50 years of my life fighting for civil rights and for dignity. But if you don't want me to be here, that's okay. I don't want to out-scream people, end quote. 50 years wasted on a false premise that savages can ever be our equals. Now we know that blacks do not believe that all lives are equal. Racial equality is a farce. Is it any wonder that defenders of our faith and race might have a dissident voice objecting to the notion being put forth that our lives don't matter? I will defend the Bible and my people to say what the God of Israel says, quoting John 10:10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Who is the they in this verse, and what thieves? Well, this is not a generic, deracinated passage pandering to universalist. The same bunch of thieves are mentioned elsewhere, most notably in the parable of the householder. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize his inheritance." The vineyard was a metaphor for true Israel, the white race. And in verse 45, the chief priests and Pharisees perceived that he, Christ, was speaking of them, the Jews, who killed the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Stealing the name of Israel, which they have done, and for the last 2,000 years have cursed Christianity. That's not how the Abrahamic covenant works. We don't curse those who bless us. But that's the way the devil Jew works. The racial context of John 10:10 is in the very next verse, verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep." Sheep are always in reference to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, who are always separated from the goats and other metaphors for alien strangers. Our life may not matter to strangers, but it matters to our kinsman redeemer. The children of darkness are booing and jeering at the thought that white lives not only matter, but matter abundantly. This is indeed white privilege that other races have no right to. They are not the heirs of the promises of God. It is only a matter of time when the mongrel will declare that the God of the Bible does not matter. It becomes so much easier when the Antichrist can convince white people that they are insignificant and that their lives have no meaning, in order to destroy them without much resistance. It's psychological warfare. But putting on the whole armor of God is white power of dissident racism. The truth shall make you free. The racial alien will never know the truth, will never live life according to the word of God, and therefore will never be free, which means they will always be slaves in bondage to the carnal world. Those who believe a lie, regardless of race, will suffer strong delusion. The Christogenia New Testament translates 2 Thessalonians 2:11, whereby God sends them an operation of error for them to believe in that which is false, that all those should be judged who, believing not in the truth, rather have satisfaction in unrighteousness, end quote. The enormity of Black Lives Matter is an operation of error that wallows in wickedness, that makes the Confederate flag a warped and twisted symbol of fantasy slavery, and not much different than the fantasy Holocaust. You want to talk about slavery? And I don't think our adversaries want to be confused with historical facts, but they do want you to be confused. The black slave does not compare to the oppression the white slave has endured. From a Christian identity perspective, Adam was the first white man. The 12 tribes of Israel became the Aryan nations of Europe. And many prophecies have been fulfilled for Israel right here in America. Our ancient ancestors endured the slavery of Egypt, some of whom escaped, getting to Europe before the great migrations out of Assyria. Yes, the northern house of Israel did not disappear from history when Assyria took them into bondage. We can prove that the Celts, the Saxons, the Scythians, the Jutes, the Lombards, the Goths, and a host of other branches of the 12 tribes were connected to Israel and survived their time of slavery in Assyria, which was their divine judgment for disobeying God. The same held true for the southern house of Israel going into Babylonian captivity many years later. And then we cannot dismiss the history of the great whore of Babylon, the Roman Catholic Church, making their mark in history, subjugating white people to ecclesiastical slavery for hundreds of years. The Negro was never a slave during this great expanse of time in the jungles of Africa. No, at worst, they were running from lions or their own tribesmen wanting to eat them for dinner. And that is the reality check for today, that we are dealing with cannibals who are only a stone's throw from the jungle, who create their own Afrocentric history out of thin air. In Michael Hoffman's book, They Were White and They Were Slaves, is yet another chronicle of the hidden history of white slavery during the same era of blacks being brought to colonial America in the 17th and 18th centuries from Africa. The difference between black slaves and white slaves is that the Negroes were being bought and sold as a commodity, whereas the poor whites, and oftentimes children, were kidnapped, often called indentured servants, and subjected to hard labor, and faring much worse than the imported Africans. White slaves were the cheapest of laborers. Hundreds of thousands of white slaves were kidnapped by thugs, chained, whipped, and worked to death in the colonies. They were an expendable commodity because evidently the lives of black slaves mattered more than the lives of white slaves. This was the cruelty of the northern upper class who had the gall to start a civil war against the South, who did not exploit the trafficking of white slaves. I dare say there is more white slavery in the world today than black slavery. In one California county alone, there is a class action lawsuit for thousands of children who were wrongfully taken from their parents without a warrant by CPS, Child Protective Services, a criminal organization. kidnapping children and conspiring with criminal foster care homes in the business of selling children in the sex trafficking cartel. Who is CPS giving these children to? Well, according to the LA Times, 1,000 convicted sex offenders have been given a green light by CPS to become approved foster parents just in Los Angeles County. Half of those children were murdered while away from their families. This industry now makes more money than the illegal drug trade and illegal arms trade combined. Georgia Senator Nancy Schaefer was one of the very few who did speak out and tried to do something to stop this horrendous problem. But now she's dead. Many believe murdered. Why haven't we heard about these atrocities of modern white slavery? Because the Jews media is more concerned about white racism and the Confederate flag. The foreign press has reported on pedophile rings in the highest echelons of government here in the U.S. and in the U.K. Everybody's afraid because there are some really big heavy hitters that are very influential that are involved. Surely Donald Trump has heard about his fellow billionaires who are filthy perverts about the buying and selling of his own kind and the great wealth accrued from untold suffering. George Poppy Bush is one of those elites who are too big to be prosecuted for clearly being involved in child sex, heroin smuggling, MK Ultra, Satanism, and a multitude of other corruptions, all documented in Senator John DeCamp's book, The Franklin Cover-Up, which has been around for decades. Tammy Stefano, a white woman, executive director of the National Safe Child Coalition, who has investigated this real-life horror story for over 20 years, found out that within 48 hours after a child turns 18 and they leave their foster homes, 65 to 70% of them are captured into human trafficking syndicates. Stefano believes the only way this can happen is because those inside the foster care system are helping to arrange it to happen for a fee. Stefano has received numerous death threats, her website hacked, and phones bugged. Can you say dissident racism? Is there any fire of hate kindled in your heart? Christ said in Luke 12:49, I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and what do I desire that it already be kindled? Can anybody answer what the desire of the Lord is for us in a time of Jacob's trouble? Not a time of troubled Negroes, but a time of Negroes troubling the white race. Churchianity doesn't have a clue about Jeremiah 30, verse 7, which says, alas, what a terrible time of trouble it is There has never been any like it. It is a time of trouble for the descendants of Jacob. But they will be rescued out of it. It can only be understood in the context of Christian identity. By the time Christ returns to earth, the furnaces should be warming up to incinerate the tares. To do that, we are putting out the brush fires of universalism and igniting the baptism of fire. How dare these black lowlifes whine and snivel about slavery? But the Jew is in constant agitation mode to stir up the Negro rage while white people imagine foolish things. Can you believe that the 1977 miniseries Roots is getting a remake? Scheduled for another whopping 12 hours in 2016. With, I'm sure, Kunta Kinte being gratuitously whipped again without mercy, just in time for the presidential elections and all-out rioting. As I recall, the black author Alex Haley plagiarized the fictional novel and was sued by a Jew who actually wrote it. Haley lost the case and had to pay over $500,000 to the Jew. But the real impact of Roots was the falsification of history and inculcating it into the minds of today's gangbangers who still feel the imaginary welts upon their ancestors' backs. They believed a lie. The Jews just never know when to stop. MTV, owned by Sumner Redstone, real name Murray Rothstein, is airing a new show called White People. I can guarantee that there will be nothing good to say about white people. And will make the useful idiots want to put a bullet in their head. Ask yourself, if you were a slave, would you rather be plunged down a chimney to sweep the soot and die an early death of black lung disease? Or would you rather pick cotton out in the open with fresh air and given food, clothing, and shelter? The point is, blacks have no point to make because their delusional lives are pointless. Even if the white man were to be knowledgeable about the slavery of their own race, being 1,000 times worse than that of the Negro, can only imagine the cracking noise of a whip. We would not be a race of perpetual whiners demanding entitlements. No, we would move on and rise above the trials and tribulations. Why? Because deep down in our hearts, we know that we're sinners and deserve the wrath of God. And by the same token, when the white man is down to his last breath, then he will seek the mercy of God. To God, white sinners don't matter. If you want to be an atheist, a sodomite, a race mixer, a usurer, then God will give you the desires of your heart. Yes, Christ came for sinners, but with the proviso to repent. You don't want the manna? Then go gorge yourself with quail. But it's a two-way street and does not bode well for the mongrelly minded emulating the mongrel. For whoever has, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whoever has not, from him shall be taken away even that he has. He was speaking racially. Whoever has the true grace of God implanted in their heart and mind shall grow even more knowledgeable and understanding of Christ. If you forget God, God will forget your posterity. Hosea 4:6. The new covenant, as with all covenants, was the law of God and his grace written exclusively for only one race of people. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their minds and write them on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. Hebrew 8:10. Why apologize for being God's covenant people? For being white? Why chastise the Confederate flag? Why do you want those who will destroy you to like you? Why do you like them more than the God of the Bible? The real Bill Cosby is not the fantasy Dr. Father image. He's a serial rapist, a criminal animal who is not your atypical Negro, but typical. I'm hoping some New Age airhead will be reading this and their anti-racist bubble suddenly pops. Lord, what will it take to awake our people? A Planet of the Apes ruled by Queen Hillary? Do you know why we don't talk to strangers? Why we don't engage the racial alien in any conversation with substance? Why we don't debate them in the marketplace of ideas? Before I answer that, let me tell you about what not to do, which happened in several cities where blacks and Confederate flag supporters clashed. There seems to be a weird form of anarchy and outdated street activism. And I'm sure that on such days, the police would rather be fishing. Radical white nationalist groups are without any game plan or leadership, no training or combat skills when they're out on the street. Whereas the gangbangers are like a school of fish, turning on a dime as soon as their prey is isolated and they can pounce on it with impunity. It's a sad state of affairs that our side is now a minority in certain dark alleys and doesn't have the smarts to realize it's not a good idea to hit the hornet's nest with a baseball bat. Some of these recent events were pathetic and a showing of unkempt Nazi uniforms and Klan robes, not to mention obese men and women, profanity, no concern for image and appearance, not being media savvy, no discipline or leadership, proving that the road to hell is paved with good intentions. While these white protesters were surrounded by hundreds of grimacing, sweaty, mean-tempered beasts who were just looking for a white person they could stomp to death. but would settle for a Confederate flag they could rip to shreds, like wolves ripping meat from a bone. A perfect storm for bad propaganda. If 1,000 blacks can mobilize and play a game between civil disobedience and violence in the streets over a black thug who got shot for being a thug, then why can't 1,000 whites assemble for a redress of grievances in the halls of their own state representatives, demanding they fulfill their oath of office or resign? The rally to save the Stars and Bars didn't take any brain power to stand on the Capitol steps in Columbia, South Carolina. As much as I love a good old-fashioned protest demonstration, it no longer serves any purpose, especially if it's unorganized, than to comfort the protesters themselves in thinking they did something meaningful, although it will be forgotten the next day by those it was intended to reach. It was, unfortunately, self-serving and ineffective. What more could they have done? A lot. Our founding fathers never really envisioned free speech or freedom to assemble in the form of yelling at subhumans and waving flags. No, to whom much is given, like freedom, much is required. We are what we are committed to. Waving a flag is simply the starting point of dissident racism, not a means to an end. If it were that simple, then we would see the fruits of our efforts. The cockroaches would scatter at the first appearance of light. There is no law prohibiting us from lobbying those holding the public trust. However, without a Christian barometer to guide us in our protest, we don't have the tools to be effective. We can find the wisdom needed for what we want for our race and nation in the Bible. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand to execute vengeance upon the heathen and punishments upon the people, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise the Lord. Leaders are to be chained to the word of God rather than the people chained to the whims of tyrants. If we're not committed to that idea, we're begging for persecution. Is the media going to report that the bloody white body beaten to a pulp matters? No. Their only song and dance right now is Black Lives Matter. Otherwise, it would not see the light of day on Talmud Vision TV. Are you going to argue the point in public with these retarded apes who have million-dollar educations but only have a third-grader mentality? Or should God's law be put on public notice to those in government? I'm thinking along the lines of Pastor Everett Ramsey's Divine Court of Justice and imprecatory prayer, not recycled political activism. Oh, please, Mr. Congressman, please help your constituents from being overrun by communist bastards. No, there will be no more groveling before race traitors. Now is the time for divine ultimatums. The last call for repentance. Dissident racism is and has got to be on the offensive. It may not sit well with those who are in denial about their own innate racism. Should we forbear speaking the truth for fear of offending others and incurring real hate? So then, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? We do not dialogue with those who are not Israelites unless it's absolutely necessary, like on your job or coming out your front door and saying, "Get off my lawn. Get out of my nation." I know the situation is pretty far gone, and the elected officials don't have a clue about the race laws right there in the Bible. Otherwise, they would be outraged that a Negro is occupying the White House and on down the line to other mongrels who soil everything they touch in government. We don't talk to jour strangers, because God says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, and cast not your pearls before swine." We are warned that wolves will masquerade as having the same kind of divine authority as we do. Now, this erroneous notion is not supported by Scripture, but is in fact prohibited. The law states that they aren't even supposed to be living in a white nation. So if we were obedient to the law, how then could we talk to them? Black lives only matter in Africa. We must live as if we are living in the kingdom of God right now, minus the presence of strangers. Hence, they must be gone. It is critical for Mystery Babylon to do just the opposite and amalgamate every demographic into their new world order. Dissident racism is the new unpardonable sin, the heresy of political correctness. They can go to heaven's antithesis. Have you ever seen those license plate holders with chains? They've been around for years. You know what that's about? It's a black thing. I found this explanation in the signature of a poster at Stormfront. Quote, "They put chains on their car plates because they get something out of withholding forgiveness. If they forgive the past, they forgo excuses that let them control white people." The fact is, non-whites all around the world want control of whites. Westernization has brought forth amazing progress not seen in other cultures. Some of the world harbors a great deal of jealousy over that. I think they also harbor a lot of guilt in that they have not created near to the extent whites have. Therefore, they resent us. So out of guilt, they blame whites for their incompetence, lack of creativity, intelligence, etc. They want what we have, which comes from whites internally. But since they don't have it internally, the next best thing is to blame us for their not having it, and living with the illusion that they were held down by whites. The truth is, every culture in the world has experienced being held down. Every culture, including whites, have been victims of slavery. But the descendants of the Irish, Scottish, and German slavery and indentured servants, yes, right here in America, have risen above their lot, done amazing things, and have not complained since. Blacks blame us for their slavery still, because they do not want to take responsibility for now being the only ones holding themselves down, end quote. George Orwell said, "If liberty means anything at all, it means the right to tell people what they do not want to hear." You want to hear a good one? Police in Omaha say they've had at least 10 interracial couples report receiving anonymous letters explaining why they should not be together because they are not of the same race. Quote, "Dear uneducated white woman," is how it started. "You're dumb for dating a black guy and you're going to make dirty black babies," end quote. Naturally, the actual contents of the letter cannot be published because they may have some religious overtones, citing biblical prohibitions against race mixing. In fact, what I just quoted might be from the vivid imagination of some Jewish editor. I think whoever is doing this might be onto something. One might avoid the postal system, however, for whatever harassment type laws may exist in the federal laws. The so-called police authorities said that depending on what the man is charged with, he will likely face between 5 and 20 years in prison, which is nothing more than blowing smoke. Show me the law, and I'll show you the law of God. The race mixers have moved out of that neighborhood and may discourage others from moving there. There are sanctuary cities, cities that issue gay pride parade permits, and gun-free zones. Maybe we need cities of no refuge for illegal aliens. Cities prohibiting homosexuality and mandatory gun carry ordinances. As things become more extreme, just like Lincoln imposing a 75% tariff on Southern goods, which led to no other alternative than to detach from such draconian measures that would inhibit their inalienable rights from God, so too today, we must give serious consideration to seceding from the union of corporation dogs and swine. I think it's safe to say that the primary reason for the proliferation of more race mixing than what we saw just 50 years ago is because people are reluctant to openly say it's wrong. The silence drifted into tacit approval. The less opposition, hate, shown to race mixers, the more politically incorrect it is to speak against it. I used to have these business card-sized stickers that said, "We're watching you, and we don't like what we see," KKK. It was a fast and easy way to put race traitors on notice. Having said that, you can do just about anything you want in this country today as long as you don't get caught on one of millions of cameras watching you. The bottom line is that the Jewish commissars can't stand any white Christian American with a sense of morality who stands up against racial adulteration or the abomination of sodomites. Maybe more anonymous letters targeting the despoilers of our society will let them know that their sin is not approved by God. Maybe we need something to go viral, like millions of postage-sized stamps with the Confederate flag symbolizing our hate for what they're doing, and the preservation of our heritage will not go unheeded. They could be just cheap black and white stickers printed on your computer. Unbeknownst to most Americans, dictator Obama unveiled a new program to collect data on Americans by race in order to document inequalities between minorities and whites. Now, this Orwellian stockpile of statistics includes a vast and permanent network of discrimination databases, which Obama already is using to make disparate impact cases against banks that don't make enough prime loans to minorities, or schools that suspend too many blacks, cities that don't offer enough Section 8 and other low-income housing for minorities, and employers who turn down Negroes for jobs due to criminal backgrounds. Can you imagine that? Federally funded cities deemed overly segregated will be pressured to change their zoning laws to allow construction of more subsidized housings, get this, in affluent areas in the suburbs, and relocate inner city minorities to those predominantly white areas. Dovetailing with this wondrous power for social justice, Big Brother Obama, on this rare occasion, is exercising a constitutional right to grant reprieves and pardons for offenses. And on July 13th, commuted the sentences of 46 so-called nonviolent drug offenders, some of which were trafficking in crack cocaine, and weapons charges, nonviolent, and the connotation is that all of them were either blacks or Mexicans. He had the nerve to say that those being released, quote, have something to contribute to society and should not be there, meaning jail. And I have the dissident racism from my 10 plus years of having a prison ministry to tell you that all coloreds in the prison system are animals. Just ask Bill Fink. Are a scourge on society and should have been executed. There are still some nations that do that, that have zero tolerance for drug pushers or sodomites, because they know that drugs and immorality will destroy their social and moral fabric. On the comical side of tragedy, a man in the street prank asked people to sign a petition to support a 1% white privilege tax on all white Americans in order to even out the playing field and redistribute the wealth among minority communities. After a Puerto Rican man signed the petition, another individual who admits he's a non-resident alien asked for clarification, remarking, quote, so, in other words, tax the white men? And with a straight face told him, we're going to take the silver spoon out of the white people's mouths and put it back into yours. Thankfully, a number of individuals refused to sign the petition, realizing that fighting racism by instituting racist policies was a dumb idea. But it was perfect timing for Obama's calling evil drug pushers good and forcing these same unsavory elements into the so-called white privileged neighborhoods. And perhaps he can arrange for these ex-felons to get jobs as corporate CEOs with big fat paychecks, or maybe community organizers as a stepping stone to becoming big shot politicians. Once elected, these animal bureaucrats could commence to removing monuments and memorials dedicated to white heroes or racists of the past, just like the Confederate flag. They could start with the demolition or sandblasting of Stone Mountain, Georgia. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but it's an epic bas relief sculpture of Jefferson Davis, Robert E. Lee, and Stonewall Jackson. It's on par with the exquisite workmanship of Mount Rushmore, which, regardless of artistic merit, may disappear for its racist appearance of white men offending non-whites, or the desecration of graves and statues like General Nathan Bedford Forrest and dozens of others who seceded from the den of vipers. Black mayor of Memphis, Tennessee, A.C. Wharton, said the statue should be removed, and then made the brilliant comment that, quote, "I despise whatever the Confederacy stood for." This is not just an ordinary monument. This is a monument to a man who was the avowed founder of the organization that has as its purpose the intimidation, the oppression of black folks, end quote. Wow, he must have earned straight A's in history. Because stupid black leaders like this are not intimidated. They can bear false witness at will. But evidently the mayor wasn't acting fast enough. And a group of black folks decided to vandalize the grave site themselves with shovels, which must have been too much work, as they indicated to the eager media whores that showed up reporting on the scene that, quote, "We are going to bring backhoe and tractors and the men with equipment to raise Bedford Forrest from the soil of Memphis," end quote, said Isaac Richmond with the Commission on Religion and Racism. While they're at it, they can continue removing the Ten Commandments from public properties, as did the Oklahoma Supreme Court ruling that no religion can benefit from the use of state property. The spoiler in this case, however, was a challenge brought forth by the Satanic Temple demanding equal expression with a monument depicting the goat god Baphomet. Many white monuments have been spray painted around the country with the caption, "Black Lives Matter." But you probably won't see any graffiti on the Martin Luther King Monument in Washington, D.C. That is because it is the sacred god of black folks who call evil good. All the more reason to perpetuate the dissident racism of white folks. Take away the heritage of a people, and they are easily persuaded. I've quoted this subtle admission from Karl Marx on numerous occasions, and it's especially germane to today's message because we are now on the slippery slope of change that state of mind communists can count on. Under the pressure from the NAACP, who has been the primary instigator in taking away the white Christian heritage in America of late, the Connecticut Democratic Party erased the names of Thomas Jefferson and Andrew Jackson from their annual Jefferson-Jackson fundraising dinner because of their ties to slavery and in the aftermath of the shootings in Charleston, South Carolina. The decision was seen as unprecedented, with the apprehension that other states will follow. Good grief! How many schools and streets are named after Jefferson in this country? There's nothing noble or righteous about these hyper assaults on American history. There is only the hate on steroids agitating jungle savages to destroy everything white. Some of the apologetic voices of the Confederate flag say it's heritage, not hate. But the way things are going, they will see if they are not already colorblind that it is not only heritage, but dissident racism that will save us, that we cherish most in life. That is the love of our own kind. Our enemies can call it hate all they want, but they are not without far deeper animus. I couldn't help but notice what can be identified as the dialectical synthesis, black hate, in an incident that happened in nearby Hamilton County, Ohio, where a Negro pushed a white female jogger into busy oncoming street traffic, screaming, "I hate white people," while threatening her by waving a knife. The victim managed to flee and call for help. Police let the perp go after she identified him at a police lineup because they couldn't find the weapon on him. 30 minutes later, after his release, police got a separate call of the same Negro brandishing a knife, and this time he admitted to having the weapon. Duh. Weeks after the first incident, he was arraigned and charged with ethnic intimidation, which is, that's a new one on me. Whatever happened to hate crimes? Well, they only pertain to white folks. But really, our enemies fight to destroy what they hate. We fight to protect what we love. Next time, we will conclude this series with a preeminent truth that will give us more than enough hope to overcome the adversaries of wickedness: the currency of God and the release from bondage to a world gone mad. White lives matter! Thank you.